What a year this has been. Today, Americans are reporting more symptoms and signs of depression, anxiety, and fear than the historic normals. It is easy to feel lonely when so many people are staying close to home, avoiding gatherings, and many businesses are closed. You see, social connection is essential to our well-being. And prolonged isolation can increase the risk of depression and anxiety and emptiness. But that doesn't mean that we should just throw up our hands. What it does mean is that it's time to start doing something about it. This morning's gospel lesson is the only miracle, aside from the resurrection, that is included in all four of the Gospels. That should tell you something. That should tell you how important this message was. That God inspired the writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to include it in each of their Gospels. He wanted that message to be put out four times because of the importance of what is there. One of the things I like best about the feeding of the 5,000 is that this miracle captures Jesus' concerns for both the material and the spiritual needs of the people. Jesus heals the sick. He encourages people when they are sad. And when they are hungry, he feeds them. And the key word that holds all of this together is compassion. Of all the description of how Jesus views us, compassion is my favorite one. Without compassion, nothing happens. In the Gospels, we are told that Jesus had compassion on folks before he healed them. We're told that Jesus had compassion for sinners, that he had compassion for the lost and for the lonely and for the sad. And when he was traveling through the different villages, we are told that he had compassion on the people because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Excuse me. That is who our Savior is. And that is what our God is like. We've heard this saying. We've said it over and over and over again. Like Father, like Son. And it is so true here today in this message. God is a compassionate being. And he created his Son with that same level of compassion. The verb, have compassion, is always evoked by a need that Jesus sees. Jesus is very observant. He looks at the crowds with a sensitive heart for their needs. He knows what they need because he looks at them with compassion. And what Jesus sees is the helplessness of people, and that touches him deeply, and he feels this compassion. He is moved to help people and to teach his disciples the necessity of seeing people and having compassion for them. He has taught this to the disciples that if you are to follow me and you are to go forward with the task that I lay on you into the world, you must have compassion in order to be successful. It is not just a job. Compassion is a feeling, and like any feeling, it's not something we can just decide to have. It comes in reaction to something. I personally believe that our capacity to have compassion is shaped by how we look at others. It's a way in which we're able to identify with people. And it seems to me that this empathetic identification with others begins when we listen well to the other person. Excuse me. Not so long ago, somebody came into my office or asked to meet me in my office, and they wanted some counseling. Well, I'm not a counselor. I don't have any training in counseling, so to speak. But what happened was, is this person come in, and really all this person wanted was a listening ear. And that's what this person got, a listening ear. Most of counseling, or most of reaching out to people, is just listening. Most people don't want to be told what to do. They just want to be heard about what is going on in their life. And when you do this, and you do this from the verb or from the emotion of compassion, it is received. And in this particular case, this person went on about their life with a much different point of view. Not because of Gary Zinger, but because with compassion, a listening ear took time to listen. And that is what Jesus does. He hears what we ask for. Because Jesus is compassionate. He answers all of our requests. May not be what we ask for, but I'll bet you, I'll tell you right now, it'll be what is best for us. Because Jesus Christ is compassionate. It means by which we take another person seriously and thus gives them dignity. We can't have compassion unless we enter into another person's life by identifying with them. And that is exactly what Jesus does. When we ask Jesus Christ, because of compassion, he enters our life. Now, as I wrote this, it came to mind that not always, but quite often, there's a homeless person standing on the exit ramp at 68th Street and 131 with a sign up. Need work, or I'm hungry, or whatever the sign that person has for that particular day. So often I come off of that ramp and my thoughts are, well, you loser, go get a job and you won't have any of these problems. But the reality is there may be an underlying reason why this person is homeless, hungry, and needs help. And unless I would stop and get out and talk to this person, I would never know what really, truly is going on in their life. And I don't do that because I'm focused on getting home or whatever the case may be, rather than compassion for this person that's standing there at the top of this ramp. If you just take time to reach out and listen, you can develop this compassion. It is a verb, it is an action. That is also what we as Jesus' followers are called to do. And when we do this, it helps to fill our empty spaces. Our gospel passage this morning starts in the middle. Something else is going on. What do I mean by that? Well, just look at verse 13 where we begin, where we began our scripture. It says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing this crowd followed him on foot from the towns. Well, what did Jesus really hear? Well, here's a couple of things that was going on in his life at the time. King Herod had just executed his cousin John the Baptist. He had been beheaded as a party favor for Herod's daughter. It's no wonder Jesus needed some time alone to pray and to grieve. But Jesus is not the only one to hear the gruesome news. We're told that the crowds have also heard about John's murder. And so the people are understandably frightened and are seeking after Jesus for both comfort and guidance. How often do we do that? I have no doubt in my mind that these last few days and these coming days that Jack and Joanne and their family is seeking Jesus Christ for guidance as they grieve the loss of their son. I have no doubt in my mind, because I know Jack and Joanne's heart. This is what we do. This is how we fill the empty spaces. When somebody loses a loved one and doesn't know or have Jesus Christ or take the time to fall back on Jesus Christ and his love, there is a huge empty space that cannot and will not be filled without crying out to Jesus Christ and seeking his compassion for us. While Jesus is out in a boat on the sea, they follow him on foot from the shore. And so, when Jesus brings his boat to the shore, he sees this huge crowd of people. Well, what else does he see? He sees their grief. He sees their fear. He sees their longing for hope and a word of encouragement. He sees their emptiness. And how does Jesus Christ respond? With compassion for each and every one of them. He knows and he identifies with what they are feeling, and he reaches out and he heals their sick. He spends the day in conversation with them, and then night begins to fall. Everything changes at night, especially in Jesus' time, out in the wilderness. It is a dangerous place to be. And this is when the disciples came to Jesus with a genuine concern that the people need to leave in order to avoid the problems of being stuck out in the wilderness, of being robbed or murdered or maimed or hurt. And they were out in the dark with no food. This is a remote place. So the disciples said, send the crowd away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. You see, at this point, I think the disciples had compassion for the people. But it probably was not a deep down heartfelt compassion, because they were compassionate enough to recognize that the people were hungry and had to be fed, but they weren't compassionate enough to go and find the food for them and bring it back and give it to them so they could continue to hear what Jesus had to say. But Jesus takes a different approach. Jesus says, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. And in calling on his disciples to get involved in this temporary refugee problem, Jesus makes clear his expectations for us. As his disciple is to tap into his compassion in order to make good things happen. This is one of the lessons we have to take away from this morning, is Jesus' intent for us is to be compassionate and serve those that are needy and have a listening ear and responding with compassion and love for what it is that they are searching for. Now, we like to focus in on food with this lesson. But the people in the crowd were actually searching for far more than just food. They were searching for safety. They didn't know where Herod was going to go with this rampage. He killed John the Baptist. He cut his head off and displayed it. That in itself generates an enormous amount of fear within the crowds. They were looking for food because they were hungry. But here, they were looking for a leader. They were looking for a savior. They were looking for the love of Jesus Christ. And they were looking for knowledge on what they can do to continue to follow Jesus Christ as their Savior. There is so much more to this lesson than just feeding a bunch of hungry people. And in doing so, Jesus is entrusting us to be part of the miracles of God. He's asking us to be compassionate. That's pretty amazing. One of the awesome things about this story is that it captures the way Jesus challenges us to address a problem and not ignore it. I come up off this ramp, see this homeless guy standing there, and my choice has been I just ignore this loser, move on about my deal that I have at hand. But that is not what Jesus is telling us. He is telling us not to ignore these problems. He's telling us through compassion to address them. So now the disciples were shocked by what Jesus was suggesting, and that is because the disciples were approaching this situation, listen to this now, with a theology of scarcity rather than a theology of plenty. You ever find yourself in this way? Or let me better ask this. How many times do you find yourself in this way? How many times are you telling yourself, well, we just don't have enough? How many times are we telling ourselves, well, we just can't do this? It's out of the question. How many times are we saying, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? How many times do we have a reason why not to do something? But Jesus wants us to think not in terms of what we don't have, but rather in terms, listen to this now, rather in terms of what God has given us, and that's the theology of plenty. And this is important to remember, especially today, through this time of the COVID-19. What has God entrusted us with, even in times such as these? There are too many to listen to list this morning. But a few of them is we still have our church. Thank you. There are people that do not have a church to go to today. There are people that are forced to worship in a manner other than they believe God has tasked them to do because of the COVID virus. Maybe it's an outside service. Maybe it's you have to sit in your car and listen to the radio. As this church down the street here, their pastor stands on top of a flatbed semi-trailer with a microphone. That's fine. I'm not being critical of that. But we still have our church. And that is what we believe here at Carlisle. As long as somebody comes here to worship, we will not turn them away. We have social distancing here. But if somebody walked in and there wasn't a social distance position for them to set, I would like to think, and I know you, anybody sitting here this morning, would slide over and allow them to sit next to you, whether it's social distance or not, because they came here to worship. We have our church. We have resources. We have many resources. The number one resource is right here. This is what we go to find our instruction. The Holy Bible, the inspired Word of God. That is why I try and work hard at reading what I have to from the book rather than off of the screen, because we've taken the Bibles and the hymnals out of here because we cannot sanitize them every week. So we depend on this. But my Bible's contaminated, and I'm the only one that uses it. And I believe with every bit of my being, whatever germs falls on this Bible, God takes care of, so I can use it. That's what our resources are. There are means by which we can grow in our relationship with God and other people, even if we are socially isolating. We just have to look at things through the eyes of Christ. Doesn't mean be stupid, but it does mean to call on Jesus Christ and ask for the compassion that He has, that He bestows on us with that same compassion. We can grow close to and become to love deeply a whole new set of people as we grow together in our knowledge and understanding of God. We have several ministries here at Carlisle. Just look at them. How many are you a part of? God bless you, and I thank you for the financial support that this church gives, whether it be for the church in the general fund, or whether it be for missions, or whether it be for Helping Hands, or the men's group, or whatever it is that we have going on here at Carlisle. I thank you deeply for the support. But just throwing money at something is not being to the level of compassion that Jesus Christ expects of us. He wants us to be part of whatever it is that He lays in front of us. You know, when it's when we are sharing in God's work that life becomes meaningful. You know, when we are sharing in God's work, we are then able to fill the empty spaces. We can do this even as we socially isolate. And for that, I am so grateful. And I hope that you are too. I think the message God is giving us in our gospel lesson this morning is that if we will embrace a challenge, if we will bring forward what we have, no matter how little then God will do the rest. And what God does with what we offer him is always more sufficient to get the job done. It is a theology of plenty. You know, this story is a sharp reminder to us that we as individual Christians must never be so wrapped up in our own problems and concerns that we withdraw from the world and refuse to be a part of the ministry of Jesus Christ, which is providing help, love, and support when others are in need, because Jesus Christ is compassionate. And we should be too. Left alone, we can easily think that the disciples and say, send them away. They are not our concern. They aren't our problem. How many times have we said that? How many times have we said that to someone else? See, it's one thing when we just say it to ourselves and go on about our task at hand. But when we're in a group or something and we say, that guy standing on that corner at the top of the ramp is not my problem. That is not being compassionate. That is not being what God wants us to be. We say we are Christians. We say we follow Christ. But only to a point sometimes. So often in our walk with Christ, we are not all in. We are only part way in. We only put one foot in the water. And, oh, it's too cold. I can't do this. Left alone, we can easily think like the disciples. But this is not an attitude our Lord will accept. He calls us to be generous and to share. You see, this story is a clear call for us, the Church of Jesus Christ, to be a compassionate people. A people that hears and listens to the cries of others and responds to their needs. And today the need is so great. People are hungering all around us. They are hungering for a deeper connection with God and each other. They are hungering for purpose and meaning. They are hungering for hope. Many are hungering quite literally for their next meal. You see, our task is to share what we have been given. Our talents, our compassion, to share our love, to share our time. We are to share what we have been given, trusting that it is enough. We are to share freely. We are to share wildly. We are to share irrationally with others, expecting that God will take our limited resource and turn them into a feast to feed thousands. You see, the feeding of 5,000 isn't some kind of spectacle to enlarge Jesus' image or bring more fame and popularity among the people. It is an insistence by God that we, Jesus' followers, distinguish ourselves by our love, our compassion, our resourcefulness, our generosity, and here's the big one, our faith. We are called to have the compassion of Christ. And that is what fills our empty spaces, along with filling the empty spaces of the world. Today, even though we are living in desperate and lonely times, we are called to learn what it means to follow Jesus Christ. What an opportunity we have. What grace Christ offers us. What more could we need or ask for? And I just want to say this. This is a great, great time to be alive. Oh, woe is me. I can't go to the store and get what I want because the shelf is empty. I can't sit at McDonald's in the dining room and drink coffee with my buddies anymore. Oh, woe is me. I have to wear this mask. Oh, I hate this social distancing. Some of them thoughts I just expressed, I agree. But this is a great time to be alive. Absolutely. Jesus Christ has suffered the loss of his cousin, John the Baptist, but instead of focusing on himself and what he lost, Jesus looked forward and outward to the crowd. And that is where we find true freedom. When we look outward, and when we look forward, in none of these things I just mentioned matters. Because when we look forward and outward, it is a great time to be alive. We're called to compassion. The crowd is starving for love. The crowd is looking for hope. The people are looking for a meaning, and they are searching for God. And who can they come to find all of these things? I think I'm going to go see Gary Zinger. He's a preacher. He knows about all this stuff. I'm going to go talk to him how I can find God. And when this person does and I brush him off, what does that say about followers of Christ? What does that say about that preacher is a compassionate preacher? What does that say about you and me? Jesus says to you, and Jesus says to me, don't send them away. You give them something to eat. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning.